My name is Jeremy Devins, and welcome back to the Quiet Mind Astrology Podcast. And today we're looking at the March 2024 horoscope, all the major transits happening this month. There are 10 significant dates to look for. And as always, if you want to follow along and learn how this affects you personally, you can get your free birth chart at quietmindastrology.com, where you can get your free birth chart from the Vedic perspective and then learn how to start to apply it to your life. Because here I like to not just give you the fish, but teach you how to fish so that when you're looking at your life and looking at the transits, you know how it affects you more on a personal level. And that's what we'll talk about this month, of how to apply this to your life and understand yourself better and understand others better. This is what I teach in Quiet Mind Astrology in my mentorship program, which has started just last week from when I'm recording this in late February. Today, as I'm recording, is actually 2/22/24, February 22nd. So we just started our new class of the Vedic Astrology Mentorship. It's amazing. Everyone in there is super cool, and we're giving a lot of great conversation already and going into applying and learning the planets, signs, houses, and nakshatras. So the next one won't be open until August. So if you're interested in going really deep in your studies and getting certified as a Vedic astrologer, that's when that will open again next. And today, actually, I just did this interview for the Which Wavelength podcast. So if you want to know more about me personally and my background and all the esoteric stuff I was into growing up, like magic tricks and Ouija boards and aliens and ghosts and astrology and the planets, that is where I share more about my personal background. So that'll be coming out in March, so very soon here in this episode of the Which Wavelength podcast. So that's really fun. That would happen today. And then actually after I'm recording this, I'll be meeting with my year two mentees talking about Magha Nakshatra, because as I'm recording this, we're having the full moon in Magha Nakshatra, which you can listen to on the past episodes about how the energy plays out. But now let's talk about what's going on in March. We have 10 significant dates to plan for, and we're already getting into the next eclipse season. Seems like it's moving fast. There's this idea that time moves faster as we get older because of the percentage of our life that it represents. You know, like when you're 9 years old, a summer is a large percentage of your life. So it seems like a bigger deal, lasts longer, it has more psychological impact. And then by the time you're in your 30s and 40s and 50s, the summer is just another blip, small percentage of your whole lifespan. So time does seem to move faster, and we all experience that. So you may feel like this year is just going by really quick already. But we do have these energies to work with and connect with, and as always, to have time to slow down and get internal. And this is where I think this stuff makes a lot of practical application to our lives, is when we slow down and just tune into the energies that are present and then how we want to work with it. So the first one happening in March is, we go forward to March 6th. And as you see, all planets are direct as we start March, and we get to the end of the month, all planets are still direct. So there's a lot of forward momentum throughout the whole month, a lot of potential to create anything new. You may feel a little overwhelmed, it may be a little much, like so much energy that it's hard to direct it, or it gets directed in sort of unintentional ways. And for me, that was having an accident on my motorcycle, which I mentioned before. And I'm almost healed now. I don't want to show all the wounds. It's kind of gruesome. But it's a miracle. It's a miracle how your body heals itself. And I just want to address that really quick, too, is, you know, my hand in particular, there was this big chunk there was a chunk taken out of my palm, like, I could feel it. It's like a little divot in there, and it's not the normal shape. And as it's healing and the scab is still here right now, I can see the normal shape coming back underneath the scab. And my other wounds in my arm, the same thing. There was a significant cut there, and now it's totally smoothed over and back to the normal shape. And how does our body do that? Like, how is this healing ability so amazing, right? And there's like this DNA that we have that's encoded that says, this is the shape of your hand, this is the shape of your arm. And I think that DNA also has this encoding of like, this is your expression, this is your dharma, this is your purpose. And this is how you express yourself best emotionally and energetically and physically. And it's going to look different than me or someone else. There are some commonalities. A lot of us have very similar bodies as humans. We have similar shapes to things, but your unique expression of your body is going to be different than mine. And I think this applies psychologically, energetically as well. And the way you think about politics is going to be different than how someone else thinks about politics. And especially with politics, people tend to want everyone else to think like them and have a very hard time when people don't think like them. But this applies also to sports, to art, to music. You know, it's all very subjective what kind of music you like or what kind of art you appreciate or what kind of decor you want in your home. There are certain sort of tendencies in your chart. And this is where knowing yourself and knowing your chart is so valuable, because no matter what happens externally and as we move through the transits over time, there are certain sort of blueprints within you. And this is what I call the life alignment, is where we're in alignment with our lives, with our unique gifts, with our energies. And that starts to express through the work we do, the people we choose to spend our time with, the hobbies we have, the ways we express ourselves. And when we get hurt and when we fall, like me very physically falling and getting hurt and then having these wounds in my physical body, over time I heal and now my body is getting back almost fully now to the same shape that it was. There's a little bit of a scar there. You can tell there was a wound, but it's mostly back to that same shape, right? So there's this sort of blueprint that's there that says this is the shape of the hand, this is the shape of the arm. And there's also a blueprint that says this is where you feel most expressed. This is where you are at your best. And sometimes it's not as obvious, and we need to go through a lot of life experience to find that. And sometimes we need to fall down and make mistakes. And then our body sort of restores itself back to what is alignment for us. And I think that energy is always there. And when I got my first reading with my teacher, he spoke to these things, and that just blew my mind that he could see these energies that were present, these things that were very internal that, like, I rarely even talk about to anybody. Like, how does anyone see this? You can see it in the chart, and those patterns are visible there. So it's really cool to know yourself, know your chart, and then know those tendencies, those patterns, that blueprint that's within you. And then when you fall, when you have downs, when you have moments where you're just not your best self or whatever, you know, we all have this. It's part of the path. It's like part of the process we all go through, to have ups and downs, expansion and contraction. Then when you go through that, you can see the bigger picture. You can see where this can best express for you and how it can be part of your expression and your unique blueprint. So I talk about this in my readings. If you want to schedule a reading with me, you can go to quietmindastrology.com and click on readings. And I have limited availability this year. I will be running a special promotion where I think I'll be having limited availability for the rest of the year. So maybe a couple of promotions this year where it's open for scheduling readings. But right now it's currently open as I'm recording this. But just know, if you do want to get a reading this year, go to quietmindastrology.com and schedule. I will have limited spaces this year. And for me, one of those ways of expressing myself is through yoga. And I teach yoga and practice yoga almost every day. And I will be opening the yoga teacher training program very soon as well. quietmind.yoga/YTT. Link is in the show notes, is where you can check that out if you're interested in going deeper into yoga practice. Because I think this is essential to channeling and connecting to these higher energies, is first connecting to your body and taking care of your physical body, your health, your wellness, your sleep, your exercise, your movement. And like for me, when I fell on my motorcycle, it was so present. I was so present to that experience of, okay, I'm falling. It happened kind of in slow motion. Like, I'm falling. I'm going to put my hands here. I'm going to protect my head. I'm going to do this and that, and then fall in this certain way where I can make it the least painful and difficult as possible. But it's all within like 1 second of thinking. And for me, it felt like a meditative moment, just like sitting in meditation, aware of my full body, aware of my breath, and able to just adapt to the moment. And for me, that comes from yoga and meditation practice. So I think this is actually maybe a prerequisite for astrology, as I'm Now, many years into teaching both of these topics, I really feel that the yoga is a great prerequisite to better channeling and connecting to the energies of the universe and astrology. And traditionally, you would learn them all together in India, Ayurveda, Jyotish, astrology, and yoga. So if you want to go deeper in your yoga practice, I do have the Quiet Mind Yoga podcast. You can practice with me for free. And if you really want to go into a deep container with that, that's the Quiet Mind Yoga Teacher Training, which will be opening soon. So quietmind.yoga/YTT is where you can check that out. And now, for realsies, I will get into the 10 major transits of March, but I felt like I needed to share that first. So yes, all planets are direct, strong, forward momentum through the month. Anything you want to create and start, now is a great month to do that. And then as we go forward to March 6th, we see Mercury moves to Pisces out of Aquarius. Now, if you Google this and you know a little astrology, you may know Mercury is considered debilitated in Pisces. Mercury is the intellect, the thinking mind, in the watery, intuitive feeling realm of Pisces. So the logic, the rationale, the critical thinking is now in this more intuitive place where this is considered sometimes a problem, and it can be in communication with others, or maybe it's difficult to express what you feel. It's difficult to be on the same page, especially if somebody is like Mercury in Capricorn or an earth sign. But there is a lot of intuition, a lot of empathy with this energy over these 18 days. This is something I have in my chart, and here I am using my voice for a living, and I talk about astrology, I talk about energy, I talk about intuition. So Mercury communication in Pisces, these kind of things. So there's a great time to be working with these energies, talking about these things, and there's increased receptivity to emotional nuances and subtleties, and just picking up on subtle cues in the way you speak and the way you hear others speak, and in connection with others in your business, if you're in sort of marketing or commerce or business kind of things. Mercury also rules these, so this is a great time to bring in more of this intuitive perspective. Great for creative and imaginative thinking. So there can be a lot of idea generation. Right? I can speak as somebody who has this all the time in my birth chart. There's never a shortage of ideas and inspiration. The real issue is discerning which ones to focus on and to direct the energy intentionally and not just have infinite ideas that don't have any root to them. And it took me many years to really find that. So this is important as you go through this transit over these next 18 days to be open to all these ideas, but also be discerning of which ones actually have ground to them and are not just sort of pie in the sky. There's potential for confusion or indecision in communication, and there may be some issues where people feel like you're not communicating well, especially if you have Mercury in a challenging place in your chart. This was something I really struggled with for a long time, of feeling like I was communicating well, but people would still give the feedback that I was not communicating well. And that is a thing with Mercury in Pisces, to be aware of for yourself, for everybody over these couple weeks here. March 6th, Venus into Aquarius. So later in the day, we see Venus moves from Capricorn to Aquarius, still in a Saturn sign. But here for 24 days, this can bring about a more open-minded and unconventional approach to relationships, where Venus in Capricorn before was more about finding and establishing your boundaries, feeling more grounded in your relationships, and needing to address more practical desires and needs. Now it becomes more individualistic, more eccentric, more unique to you, and exploring what you really love and what you want. So like in the astrology mentorship program, we're about to go into studying Venus as I'm recording this. By the time this happens, we'll have studied that. So if you're listening in the class, hello. But we're going to go into Venus and we're going to do something called a desire inventory. So it's very simple. It's just writing out, I want blank. I want blank. Now, anytime you want to work with the Venus energy, this is a great practice to do. And to do like 100 of these, because the first maybe 10 are kind of on the surface. They're like in the RAM of your brain, like ready to access, like random access memory. Like it's just ready to go. Okay, yeah, I want this, I want that, I want that. But then once you've gotten through all of those, you've written them all down, maybe there's like 10 to 20 of those right on the surface that you're just kind of processing in the background a lot of the time. Now you get to the deeper desires. And it may be still relatively superficial things, like something about your clothing or your body or your home or nice car you want or how much money you want to have. There's no need to filter or censor this. It's something to do for yourself. But then beyond that, there may be another deeper layer of a deeper longing or yearning for a deeper connection in your life, deeper meaning, deeper purpose. And then beyond that, now you might start to get into subconscious stuff and deeper patterns that you weren't even aware that you weren't aware of. And so it's a great process to do this desire inventory. And if it feels easy, maybe you do 200, but 100 is a good benchmark to just touch into some of these deeper desires and unique expressions of yourself. And part of this with Venus and Aquarius is finding what is your unique expression, what you really feel drawn to. And it doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to look good on paper. It doesn't have to be the obvious answers. There's a positive influence for group interactions and collaborations here. Aquarius is a social, humanitarian, environmental oriented energy, utopian kind of energy. So this is great for any sort of relational desires with others that involve like creating more harmony, more peace, more environmental support or causes that you care about, these kind of things, networking, connecting with others, collaborating. It's a favorable time for exploring unique and expressive connections, maybe nonprofits that you want to be part of, donating, volunteering. And there's potential for being overly detached and resistant to emotional depth. But this desire inventory is a way to get under that, to the deeper thing. But on the surface, it could just be wanting to be eccentric and do your own thing and almost childlike and just whatever you feel like doing. And that can be okay. Sometimes we need to explore that part of ourselves. But notice if it does start to feel like a block to real intimacy, real emotional connection, real depth, and real desires of what you really want. And I know sometimes people hear this and they're like, I don't know what I want. And my compass is broken. And how do I know if I really want that or if I just think I should want that? And there's a couple of things you could explore with this is like a scale of 1 to 10. 10 being like definitely want this, 1 being definitely don't want this. And if something is a 9 or a 10 for several days in a row, like 2 weeks in a row, you keep coming back to this desire, it's like a 9 or 10 for you, then that's probably a real thing for you to explore. And it doesn't even necessarily mean that it's good for you. Like, you know, like you see if you're older now, you probably, maybe if you have kids, I don't have kids, but you know, you see these like teenagers and they start to date somebody who you know is just not good for them. In the sense of like, they're probably going to get their heart broken. They're probably going to get into some trouble, maybe, you know, do some illegal things or something. And you just can see it as about to play out, but you can't interfere. You could try to stop it, but then it'll just make them want it more, kind of like Romeo and Juliet. Like everyone tried to not have them have that relationship, and then they kill each other, or kill themselves over it. And they go to the extreme, right? But that's just the story of an extreme. But like, yeah, this, you try to stop somebody from experiencing something, and they could end up just wanting to have that thing more. And the same for yourself. You try to stop yourself of saying like, maybe you really want to just eat cake all day one day. And if there's this part of you that's like always trying to keep the reins on yourself, like don't eat the cake, be more strict, there's a sense of being sort of locked up and stuck and not being yourself. And there may be some part of you that needs to express to just like indulge and feel that, and then feel like the sickness on the other side of feeling terrible because all you ate was cake all day. And then you're just like, you don't want it. and then finding eventually more of a middle ground where like you can have your desires and your desires are more in service to your higher self and to your body and to caring for yourself. But sometimes earlier on, or sometimes when we're learning new parts of ourselves, those desires are not, so we're not sure. It's like, is this harmful? Is this what I want? Is this what I think I should want? And it's not as obvious as like the destructive relationship or the bad food, and you're not sure. And in that case, it doesn't really matter. You can go either way. You try it or you don't try it. But if you don't try it and then it keeps coming back, like maybe I should try that, maybe I should try that, and then try it. Like for me, yoga was like this for a long time of like, maybe I should go to this yoga class. I don't know why. It's not cool. Like in the late 2000s, being a guy doing yoga was not cool at all. It's maybe close now, you could say, like a guy going to ballet. That there's that same sort of, it's like not many guys do ballet. Usually it's mostly women, and there's more of that yin feminine energy there. It's just a different thing. Like most guys today would not really think about going to ballet. And that's how it felt to me, like going to yoga. But I still had this call, like, go to the class, try it out. And I resisted that for months. And then when I finally did, I was like, this is amazing. I love it. I want to do this every day. And it became a huge part of my life, set me on a whole different trajectory in life. But it did require going outside my comfort zone and doing something that was calling me, but was scary. So there's that element too with Venus and Aquarius, like something might be calling you that could actually lead to a lot of healing and growth and health and positive energy in your life, like the yoga was for me, but it may feel a little uncomfortable or outside your edge. And especially for me, because I was like in this very moody, dark place and into like Nine Inch Nails and dark movies and like David Lynch and David Fincher and all this kind of stuff, Stanley Kubrick, which I still appreciate all of that stuff, but it was like this very dark, serious, brooding kind of energy where like to go to yoga was not cool. It was awkward. Like who do I think I am? Like not being myself, but there's something in me that's calling me to it. And it totally changed my expression of self, my identity, my health, my wellness, got me out of depression, you know? So there was that calling in there, and you may have that now. It's worth exploring. Next big transit is on March 10th. We have the new moon in Purva Bhadrapada in Aquarius. So, gotta go earlier in the day for that one. And we can see that together. If you're watching the video on Spotify. So, March 10th. New moon, the sun and moon are conjunct. Also, Saturn and Venus are there as well in Purva Bhadra. So it's a great time for setting intention, especially anything that's progressive, unique, expressing yourself. It's a new beginning from last month, the last new moon in Dhanishta, which I talked about in the last few episodes. That new beginning, new spiritual wealth in your life, but now in Purva Bhadrapada, it's more for great for initiating any sort of humanitarian projects and any sort of collaborative group projects, anything that's moving towards your vision of like what you want to create in the world. There can be some unexpected challenges or some resistance to change, some serious energy with the Saturn here as well. But it brings a more practical, grounded approach to your desires. And if you've done that work around March 6th to 10th of like touching into your desire, what you really want, and then you get to that clarity of, okay, this may be some things to explore. Now the new moon on March 10th is this initiative energy, this planting the seed to now move in this new direction towards these new desires. And then the next day, March 11th, the eclipse season begins, because this is the 2 weeks before the eclipse on March 25th. So the eclipse season is a six-week period, 2 weeks before the first eclipse, 2 weeks between eclipses, and then the 2 weeks after the second eclipse. Six-week portal, where if you know there's something you need to change in your life, a door you need to walk through, a path you need to take, you will be in a new path. You will have gone through a door or a portal by the end of this six-week cycle, either willingly and intentionally or unwillingly and unintentionally. But it will happen. There is a big shift here. And you may feel it coming already. A lot of you listening, you're very intuitive. You can feel these energies shifting. But March 11th to March 25th is now you're in the eclipse window. And this is a time where if you're going to make any big changes, like moving home, changing relationship, like it's probably going to move in this next 6 weeks. And we'll talk about specifically what those energies are in just a moment. So before that eclipse comes, we'll have March 14th, the sun moves into Pisces. And you see here with Rahu, Mercury, and Neptune as well in Pisces, always about 30 days that the sun is in a sign, bringing increased sensitivity and empathy in your personal and social matters now. Of course, Pisces is the intuitive, energetic, sort of watery, emotional feeling, and the sun being here brings this vitality, energy, and enthusiasm into these elements of ourselves. It's positive for creative and spiritual pursuits. Great time to be learning spiritual practices, doing meditation, doing things in the water as well, like water therapy, something I just learned about in the last year here in Mexico. It's very common. It's kind of water therapies where you become weightless and moved around. It's beautiful if you've never experienced this. It's also a great time for introspection and self-discovery. Of course, Pisces is the moksha sign, the liberation sign. Essentially, the goal of life in the Vedic teachings is to reach moksha liberation. So when the sun comes here, it brings this sense of ability to connect to that. So really good month for doing any sort of healing work, spiritual practices, meditation, mantra, these kind of things. There can be a tendency to become overly idealistic and prone to emotional overwhelm. And also, like mentioned earlier with Venus and Aquarius, maybe a childlike sort of innocent level of just desire and wanting things for the sake of just the sense pleasure, like taste, touch, feel, having. There's a lot of that energy this month that can be like this childlike, unrealistic approach to things to be aware of. And the way to direct that is to have your imagination, your vision, your dreams, and put it into practical action. And this is helped by Mars in Aquarius, which moves there on March 15th. So we have a little bit later in the day on March 15th, Mars moves into Aquarius in Dhanisha. And we'll talk about the nakshatras transits throughout the weekly horoscopes throughout the month, where I go more in depth of the specific energies that week. But on March 15th, Mars in Aquarius here brings this dynamic and innovative approach to social and group activities and this ability to get stuff done and to take action. There's increased drive and passion in pursuing any sort of humanitarian goals or causes, any sort of nonprofit work or things like that. It's a positive influence on collaborating and team projects, but there could be some impulsiveness or conflicts with groups of wanting it to go a certain way. So the impulsivity here now comes into this Venus and Saturn energy where you may have these desires that you feel like you need to express it, you need to take action. And that can work for you or against you, but to be aware of that from March 15th until, I have the wrong dates there, I apologize for that. So I'll just get you the right dates when Mars leaves Aquarius will be April 22nd. So from March 15th to April 22nd, Mars in Aquarius with these energies I just talked about. And the next notable transit is the vernal equinox on Tuesday, March 19th. And this is when the day and night are equal length, of course. This happens every year around this date, and the spring equinox, vernal equinox, spring in the northern hemisphere. And this is a balance of yin and yang energies. It's a powerful time for new beginnings and renewal, and there's a positive energy around any sort of personal and spiritual growth. If you're in the northern hemisphere, we're moving towards longer days, more of the solar energy, more active, more yang. If you're in the southern hemisphere, you're moving towards shorter days, more of the yin energy, more internal. There could be some unsettled energies, feeling challenged by the changes of your life as you move into this new season, again, either willingly or unwillingly. But it's a nice day to find balance and center yourself as you move into this next phase of the four seasons. And then on March 21st, Thursday, we have Neptune moving from Purva Bhadrapada to Uttara Bhadrapada. And this brings a heightened sense of intuition and spiritual insights. There can be increased sensitivity to subtle energies and emotions. This is a positive influence on creative and artistic pursuits. Great time to really connect to your imagination, your dreams, and your vision. There's a potential for escapism or confusion if you're not grounded in reality here. And if you work in any sort of imaginative field, writing, creative writing, movies, arts, this is a wonderful energy for doing some of your best creative work. And then we see this with augmented reality, virtual reality stuff now, where now the imagination is moving more and more from the devices into our physical world and through our eyes now. It's really cool, like the Apple Vision Pros, like your eyes are the mouse. So you look, you see it, and you're creating by where you look. Right? So there's this powerful energy now with Neptune here where we can envision the future and bring about new visions and new ideas faster than ever. And then Monday, March 25th, we have the full moon and lunar eclipse in Virgo in Hasta. So now we are into the eclipses, and we'll talk about this more. I'll have special episodes on the eclipses because it's a big deal. But this can bring some emotional breakthroughs in how you give and receive love more authentically in your life. This is an auspicious time for completing major projects in the material and physical realm. Any sort of like house renovations or physical art projects or physical manifestations or creations that you want to work on, this is a great time to bring those to completion and then also go into this new phase of new completion. Maybe with the new moon in 2 weeks after this, you're starting a new project or a new physical project. Good time to give up manipulation or deception that could be blocking you from being vulnerable and true to yourself and others. Because of the Hasta energy, there's a level of manipulation, a sleight of hand that can happen. We're not being fully honest with ourselves, but this is an opportunity to now be really honest with ourselves. You could be overly sensitive. There could be some emotional intensity or manipulation here. Great day for just laying low, relaxing, and if anything, you just do like some healing work, giving or receiving. That's a positive use of this day. But plan March 25th to not make any big decisions on that day, to not do anything super important, but to focus on healing and going within. And then on Sunday, March 31st, we have Venus moving into Pisces to end the month, where it's exalted now. So Venus in its sign of exaltation, where we can be more open-minded, more compassionate in our relationships. This is a positive influence on emotional connection and understanding of ourselves and others. It's a great time for any sort of artistic or romantic pursuits. It's a beautiful energy for anything sexual, romantic, dates, intimacy, these kind of things. And there's a potential for being overly idealistic or prone to emotional fluctuations at this time, where you may feel like highly emotional, highly feeling, and highly sensitive. That can be too much sometimes with this energy, but overall it's quite lovely. So again, a quick review. What we talked about today is we have all planets direct all month. Great time for starting anything. We're starting the eclipse season. So now we're into this big choice point of what you want to create, where you want to go forward next 6 months of your life from March. And we are in the vernal equinox this month as well. So that pause of the day and night being equal to center and reflect as you go into the new season. On March 6th, with Mercury in Pisces, more intuitive energy. We also have Venus in Aquarius connecting to your unique desires. March 10th, we have the new moon in Aquarius in Purva Bhadrapada, starting new humanitarian or socially oriented or service-oriented projects. March 14th, the sun in Pisces, bringing more of this creative power and imagination. March 15th, Mars in Aquarius, ability to take action on these visions and get stuff done. March 19th, the equinox. March 21st, Neptune in Uttara Bhadrapada, bringing our dreams into reality on a whole new level in the collective. March 25th, the full moon and lunar eclipse in Hasta Nakshatra. Time to give up our games and be more honest with ourselves and drop any sort of manipulation we might be playing to ourselves or others. And there's huge potential for emotional breakthroughs on this day. Great day for doing healing work. And then on March 31st, Venus in Pisces. Wonderful for more sensuality, spirituality, sexuality, and connection with your relationships and what you love and expressing that. So if you enjoyed this podcast, take a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, share it with a friend, and if you want to get your free birth chart, go to quietmindastrology.com. There's limited availability for readings this year, but you can right now you can schedule one. And if you want to go deeper into your yoga meditation practice, go to quietmind.yoga/YTT. And by the time you hear this, the enrollment may be open for the next yoga teacher training. This will be the 8th time I'm leading it online. It's an amazing program to go deeper into yoga and Ayurveda and meditation. And it's really about your own personal growth. And then about half of the people don't end up teaching because it's more for your own personal growth. But if you want to teach, you'll have those skills as well. So thanks for listening and look forward to sharing more with you next time on the Quiet Mind Astrology Podcast.